All right. It's good to see everybody here today. Today being the first Sunday in April, April the 6th, 2025. We start lesson number 10 this morning from the book of Proverbs. And the lesson today is entitled, The Wisdom of a Generous Spirit. The Wisdom of a Generous Spirit. Now, I want us to look at this today, and I want it to be a help and a blessing to you. I think this lesson today, the lesson theme verse is found in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 24. And let me say this, my mind is going several different directions this morning. I got a call just a moment ago also. They are taking my mom by ambulance from the nursing home there in North Carolina to Forsyth Medical Center in Winston-Salem. They're not sure. She may have had a stroke this morning. And not sure what all is going on with that. I've called my sister, and her husband's just getting over the flu down there. So, but she's going to go over. But I just want to ask you to pray for her, if you would. Pray for my mom, June Shutt. And so pray for her if you would too, okay? I want us to look at this lesson this morning, the wisdom of a generous spirit. Our theme verse is found in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 24. And this is what it said. It said, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. And I want to ask you this question today. Are you, and I ask myself this, am I living with a generous attitude in my life today? Am I concerned for others? Am I concerned for helping others that need the help? Concern. Just loving kindness. Everybody thinks the attitude of being a generous Christian is just giving money. And, you know, the Lord uses money. Don't get me wrong. But it's the attitude of gratitude that we need to have in our service for the Lord. And being generous toward folks in our love, our affection, you know, helping them out with things. We, as you know, we have a food pantry here. And so many times we get phone calls during the week from folks needing things. They need money. They need, you know, all kinds of things. And oftentimes we just can't give out monies. I had a man out here on the bench out here on Tuesday, I guess it was. I can't remember now. I think it was Tuesday. Yeah. It came and got me out of staff meeting. And the guy was huddled up all out here in a hoodie and out here on this bench in front of the church. And they asked me to go out and check on it because they were just scared. You know, we have a school here and things like that. And so I went out and talked to him, and he was from Baltimore and had gone down to Owens Mills and had gotten in an altercation there with somebody and was just, you know, having a tough time. And he walked to Westminster trying to find the homeless shelter up here from Owens Mills. And was cold and hungry and thirsty and all this stuff. And he wanted to know what I could do to help him. And I said, well, if you'll wait right here just a minute. I said, I've got some food and stuff in here that I can help you with that. And so I came in and I got him. I like these little peanut butter cracker nabs. I don't know if you know about those things or not. We call them nabs down in North Carolina. We call them nabs. They're yellow. They're made by Lance. Got peanut butter in them and stuff like that. Okay. Well, I buy them by packs of 40. And I bring half of them here and I take half of them home. And I've got them in my office and I just eat on them and snack on them. When I don't get, you know, something real quick, I can just eat me a little something. So I got him a couple packs of stuff. I got him some food and things like that he could eat. And I keep bottled water in here. I get myself some bottled water, and I keep it in a little refrigerator. And I took him a couple bottles of water and stuff like that and went out and gave it to him. And I said, I know this is not much, but I said, I want to give you this, and I want to give you some food for your soul also and tell you about the Lord that will help you with this stuff. And he listened for a little bit. He wasn't really interested in listening to all that. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just sit right here on the bench? And, you know, I've got to go in and finish up some stuff here. And I'll come back out and check on you here in a little bit. And I said, if you need anything else, you can come in. I'll walk with you through and we'll go from there. And he sat out there and ate the cereal I gave him, and we keep some cereal and stuff here and things like that. Ate that and some crackers and the other stuff I gave him. And I came back to check on him, and he was gone. I don't know where he went to. I went down looking down the highway, couldn't find him. I went out this way looking for him, couldn't find him. And you never know who you're going to come in contact with. You just never know. And I want to be able to give, you know, the most important thing they need is the gospel. They need to know about Christ. But sometimes they need other things as well. And they just need somebody that's going to love them and care for them and tell them about Christ. And, you know, I think as we look at this lesson, I want to ask you this morning, would you classify yourself as a spiritually generous person, as a spiritually generous child of God? Many times we're afraid. People live in fear in our world today. They're afraid to talk to strangers. They're afraid to talk to anybody. When I moved up here, I'm used to just talking to anybody that comes up the street and things like that. You know, everybody's just friendly and kind. They look you eyeball to eyeball. You go down the streets of Baltimore, nobody looks at you eyeball to eyeball. And if you stop and say, hey, want to give you a gospel tract here, they look at you like, what do you want from me? You know, what do you want? Are you here to hurt me or something like that? And that's not the intention at all. But folks, we're living in a world that the devil has deceived and caused them to live in a state of fear. They live in a state of fear about everything. And everybody, it just seems like everything is bad. But you know, we need to show forth a spiritual love and generosity in our lives to help folks, to care for people, love them, and take them to that level where they can understand that God loves them and wants them to be saved. And I was thinking, as after God had delivered the children of Israel out of bondage and out of the hand of Pharaoh, he told them something very important. I want you to look at this with me this morning in the book of Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, verses 1 through 9. This is what he said. He said, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Today we would say, don't follow the crowd, okay? The crowd may be jumping off the bridge and you don't want to go with them. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help him. Thou shalt not wrest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Keep thee far from a false matter. Boy, that's good advice, is it not? Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not. For I will not justify the wicked. And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now with that verse, that passage in mind, I want you to go over to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 19. And here the Bible said, and now, Israel, what did the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God. The earth also, with all that therein is, only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and to choose their seed after them, even you all, you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked, for the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, and giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. You know what? God was giving them some advice here. And he was reminding them, listen, as you were once strangers in the land, and I took care of you, so you take care of those around you as well. Watch after them. God's people were to have the wisdom of a generous spirit in their life and in their attitude and the way that they did things. Our lesson today reminds us that there is something wonderful and rewarding in having the wisdom of a generous spirit. And I want us to look at this thing this morning. Let me ask you again today. Have you ever noticed that there are times in which we, as born-again believers, as Christians, seem to get the idea that just because we're now saved and just because God's been so good to bless us with all sorts of things and blessings, that if we're not careful, so many times we become selfish with all the things that God has blessed us with. We become selfish with it. And instead of being thankful and desirous to help others with their needs and to help others with, as God even helped us, we want to hold on to things. We see our particular needs only. We only see what we need. We don't think about anybody else. We think about ourselves only. That's one of the reasons we have the prayer list. We want to keep our minds in tune. Others have needs today as well. And we have that prayer list for a reason. And as I studied in this week's lesson, I was reminded of the words of a song. And I put this in your bulletin this morning. The words of a song my Sunday school teacher used to sing at church. And it was a blessing. And it was just entitled, "Remind Me, Dear Lord." Sometimes we need reminding of God's blessings upon us. And the words of that song go something like this. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memories now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hands. Yet He chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loved me, I can't understand. You sing the chorus with me. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been.
Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes we need reminding of just how good God has been to us. And we need to help those that need that help. Solomon had a lot to say about the wisdom of God's children. And he wanted us to have wisdom. He wanted his children to have wisdom and to maintain a spirit of generosity. And you know what? Today, we as Christians need to learn not to be greedy or selfish with the things that God has blessed us with. I know of folks today that say, well, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to give to missions. I can't afford to give my time to this. I've got other things that are more important. Folks, it's because God's been good to you that you have what you have. I'll be honest with you. I can't afford not to give back unto the Lord. I want to give him my best while I can. There may come a day I can't do what I do today for the Lord. And I don't want to miss an opportunity to serve him and give him my best. Now, I want us to look at a couple things this morning. I want you to look, number one, at the principles of generosity. The principles of generosity. If you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, you go and you see the generosity of God on display throughout the scriptures. God loved us as sinners. He gave himself for us. And in the very actions and motives of creation, God demonstrated a spirit of generosity. And all that he did, you read it, you see it, you see his spirit of generosity. When he created Adam, he gave man complete and total dominion of all of his creation. Can you imagine? One man having dominion over all this world. And you know what? Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28 say this. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then God demonstrated a spirit of generosity in his act of redemption when he redeemed man. And I want you to look there in Genesis chapter 3 again. The book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. And in Genesis chapter 3 verses 21 through 24, the Bible said this, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You think about this. Adam and Eve came before God in their own self-made form of righteousness. They sewed fig leaves together to hide their condition before God, thinking that they could present themselves before a holy God. And God said, no, that's not the way you're going to come before me. And God took and killed an innocent lamb. And he clothed them, coats of skins, and he clothed them both. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the land from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims with a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. God showed his love and generosity towards sinful man. by putting him out of the garden. You say, well, if God loved him, why did God do that? Because God did not want man to eat of that tree of life and live forever in his sin. And he protected man. He guarded that tree. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. No one can look at Calvary and ever seriously doubt the generosity of God towards sinful man. You cannot look at Calvary and not see the love of God on display for sinners so undeserving as you and I are. And the Bible talks about there in John chapter 3, verse 16. We always say, well, that's just a little children's verse. No, that's something for the whole world to understand. That it was God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That word perish means to die without hope, but have everlasting life. And look at verse 17. Amen. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. That's God's intent. That's the spirit of love and generosity that God has toward lost sinners, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 reminds us of this. And there Paul wrote, he said, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, in other words, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. You say, well, yeah, I believe that Christ died for the ungodly, but that's not me. Yes, it is. Each of us were ungodly in our ways toward God. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man someone even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God for that. Now I'm going to get to Proverbs here now, okay? Proverbs chapter 11. And I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 11. Verses 24 and 25, where Solomon wrote these words. He said, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Now that word liberal is not talking about what we think about liberals today, okay? But that liberal, that word liberal means the generous soul, the overflowing soul. The one that seeks the well-good of others above itself. The liberal soul shall be made fat. In other words, God's going to take care of them. They're not going to starve. They're not going to go without. Even though they give, and they give of their time, they give of their temple, they give of their talents, they give of their testimony, you know, they give of their treasures. Although they give above and beyond, God's going to take care of them. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And I want you to look over in Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, verses 25 through 26. I wish I had time, man, to give you all the verses that God talks about this. Good grief. But under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, Solomon here made some observations on his own. And the Bible said here in these verses, Proverbs 21, verses 25 through 26, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. And you say, what are we saying here? Well, Solomon here observed some things, and he wrote here that there are those that are eager to share what God has given to them, and they never seem to lack. I have seen God provide. Solomon's father, King David, in Psalm chapter 37, verse 25, wrote these words. He said, I've been young, and now I'm old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God provides for his own. And God blesses those. And perhaps Solomon here was remembering the words of his father here. And I want to go back in that chapter, Psalm chapter 37, verses 21 through 25. And he said this, David wrote these words. He said, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. You know somebody that's borrowed money from you and then they say, well, I'll pay you back. And then you never see them again. I've stopped chasing ghosts like that. I don't chase them down. I say, Lord, just get a hold of them and whip them real good, okay? Whip them real good. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I think Solomon was remembering the words that his father spoke to him, reminding him, listen, you can't outgive God. And whatever you do for the Lord, in my time, listen, was I tired yesterday? Man, I was tired. Man, we were on the road, you know, before 7:30 yesterday morning. I didn't get home until late. And then when I finally got home from this family and trying to help and encourage them and strengthen them, their time of need, it was 10 o'clock last night. And you know where I woke up this morning? Sitting right where I sat down last night. Even Precious went to bed without me last night, okay? My goodness, I was tired. But you know what? I got to thinking this morning. I got to thinking this morning. When we have this funeral service this week, there will be family members there that need to know Jesus. And that's what I spoke with them last night about. And I said, listen, keep your eyes on the Savior. Remember, God saved your husband. God let your husband live to be 82 years old for a purpose. And they were upset because he had to suffer with his sickness. But I remind them of the goodness of God, the love of God, to let that man live so that he could see a need to trust Christ as his Savior. And he called for somebody to come and share with him the message of the gospel. And he got saved. And you know what? Did he get to go to church? No. Did he get to do anything special for God? No. But he accepted Christ as his Savior. And now today, we can celebrate that because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And that man's in heaven today because he trusted Christ. There may be some other folks in that family that need to know Christ. And I'm praying that God's going to bless it. Now let's look at the reciprocal benefits of generosity that Solomon observed here. We hear President Trump talking about reciprocal tariffs, okay? You charge me 500%, I'm going to charge you 25%. I'm going to get something back, okay? Reciprocal. But I want you to see something here today. In Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, he wrote these words. He said, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, yet it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And Solomon here is referring to those folks who are willing to see and assist with the needs, okay, of those around them instead of simply hoarding up things for themselves. I watch these TV preachers. I don't watch them. I've seen them. Let me say that. But I saw one bragging about how many Brighton aviation watches he has and the cost of them. He has 36 of them. And another man gave him a 37th one. But he gave it to him in a Bentley car. So the guy has a Bentley now. And this is a preacher, okay? One of the most wealthy preachers, he says, on this earth. Got his own airplane. Got a multi-million dollar house that just he and his wife live in. And they don't share anything with anybody. And they were standing up on this program, I saw, begging for others to give money so that God would bless them if they would give more to their ministry. And I thought about these passages. You know what? I've got the watch I've got right now. This is my watch. Okay? My wife gave me this in 1983 or 84, right after we were married. I changed the battery. The battery lasted 10 years at a time. Okay? I replaced about every 10 years and put a new battery in it. But you know what? I'm just as happy as a little pig in the mud, warm mud, you know, with that watch. I don't need 36 Breitling watches that you set up on the shelf and brag about the wealth that I've got stored up. And you know what? I think about it. The house that we have today, God gave unto us, and we've opened it up to these kids that come in from China and their families and missionaries and everybody else that come over. And man, I love to have them come. I love the fellowship that we can have together. And folks, what we need to do is to remember that we came into this world with nothing. And all that we have today is a blessing from God. You say, well, I don't have as much as somebody else has. You've got what God can trust you with. Use it for His honor and His glory. Use it for His honor and His glory. Solomon was not talking here about being unwise and just hoarding up stuff and throwing away money for on reckless spending and things like that. But he was talking about that word scattered there means to, it's a sense of responsibility. You're scattering seeds for a purpose. You're scattering, distributing things and putting it out there where folks can get to it. That's what we do when we go out and pass out gospel tracts. Yesterday, passing out the little invitations to the Living Cross. It's got the plan of salvation on the back of it. You're trying to plant the seed. And you're watering. And you're giving people opportunity to come to know Christ. And folks, that's what we're going to be doing. And notice what Proverbs 11:25 said. Look at this. He said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And again, that word liberal here, it refers to one who has a free and bountiful heart and is not selfish or greedy of their own gain. Okay? They're willing to see the needs of others and to help give to those folks that can use that help. And listen, they're helping and God is blessing. God blesses. And again, Solomon is not talking about this blab it and grab it stuff that you see on TV, okay? That's not what he's talking about. I know a man right now that is praying for a wife that would be rich that he could marry so he wouldn't have to work anymore, okay? And he sent that preacher $300 because that preacher said if he would send him that money, then God would bless him 100-fold. And he told me, the man told me, the reason I gave that money was because this guy said that God would turn my 300 into 300,000 and give me the woman that I'm praying for to make me rich. And I told him, I said, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. I hate to put it that way, but that's just the way it is. You're just dumb. Listen, I'd rather have a wife that loves the Lord, okay, that'll take a piece of chicken and fix it up and make it a casserole for a little bit, okay, and have peace with her than to to be doing stuff like that. That is not why we do what we do for God. We give back unto God because God has been good unto us. And we bless the Lord with what God has blessed us with. Listen, Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verses 1 and 2. He said, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." That church in Macedonia was a godly church. And they wanted to be a blessing to others. Why? Because God had blessed them. And they gave unto others. They gave unto the Apostle Paul. They gave unto those other churches that were going through such times of tribulation and persecution for their faith. And they gave to help them. And I want you to understand today, listen, God sees what we do and why we do it. Okay? I tithe online. And it comes out and goes online. And somebody said, "Well, what are you going to do if they stop giving tax credits for your donations and contributions to church?" I said, "When I look at my taxes and what I pay, I didn't realize I got any credit for that." But I don't give to get a tax credit. I don't do what I do because I work here. And you can check the record. Go back to when I got saved. And I wasn't even working at a church. I worked a public job. I gave unto God and I served the Lord and I preached in nursing homes and rest homes because God called me to do that before I ever accepted a full-time position in a church. You can check the record. And listen to me today. Folks, we need to give back unto God of our time and service unto Him, our talents. Listen, you sing in the choir, you can drive a bus, you got a CDL, or you can do other things, play in the orchestra, work in a nursery, you got patience to do things like that. Man, you ought to use your talent for God. You ought to give of that generous spirit because of what God has done for you. That's why I keep that picture in my Bible, right here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, to remind me where God brought me from. He said, "Because there, beware lest thou forget the Lord when He's blessed you." You give of what you give to God because of the blessings that God has given. And again, I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about of yourself, of your treasure, your temple, your talents, your time unto God. Thank God for folks who are willing to do that. But I want us to look here again at Proverbs chapter 11. And what verse 24 said, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty." And in the contrast to the latter part of that same verse, we look at verse 25, we see that hoarding up and having a lack of spiritual generosity actually leads to poverty. You can be rich in all kinds of things in this world and yet leave this world poor and undone in all things. Hey, good to see y'all today. Glad you got to be here. Amen. Thank you for getting to come. Amen. Well, why don't you guys get them a bulletin there and make sure they got a little bulletin there for class. Listen, we need to give of that time. We need to give of ourselves unto God. Because God was willing to give of Himself for you and for me today. And all that we have, we owe it to God. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. All those things we have today, they're just borrowed. And you know what? When we die, somebody else is going to have it. Somebody else is going to go out and fight the weeds in your garden, okay? They're going to have to put a new roof on your house one day and pave the driveway and all these other things because you're sure not going to take it when you die. There are no U-Haul trucks at the gravesite. Not going to be any. The greatest treasure you can ever have is to know Christ Jesus as your Savior. The wisdom of generosity. That term withholdeth there in verse 24 was an identification with those who had a selfish nature instead of a generous spirit about them. Listen, we don't need to hoard up stuff. Let's trust God. Let's live for God. The time that we have, listen, we spend our time working on things that one day we're going to give away. Why not invest the time that we have been given, the life that we have? Let's invest it in giving back unto God and serving Him, telling others about Christ. And then next Sunday when we come back, we'll look at the righteous expression of generosity in Proverbs chapter 21. Okay, we'll look at that then. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love you today and I thank you, Lord, for the lesson. Lord, I'm thankful today, dear God, that you were generous to us in the fact of knowing that we deserve nothing good for our sin. God, we deserve the payment of our sin. The wages of our sin is death, separation from God in that awful place called hell. But God, you are good enough to give your only begotten Son that we might have life and have it abundantly. And Lord, I pray, God, today that you will help us to take the life that you have given unto us and not just hoard our life and our things up for ourselves, but Lord, be willing to give back unto you in service to you. And the Lord will see to our need to take the time to go and tell our neighbors about Christ and to tell our friends and family about Jesus. And Lord, to take the time to use the talents that you've given us to serve you and to bring honor and glory unto your name, to take of our treasure and help those that are in need today. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll help us to have the wisdom of a generous spirit in loving folks and telling them about the Savior that they so need to have today. Lord, if there be anybody here today or listening through the internet that is not yet saved, they don't know you as their Savior, I pray, dear God, that you'll help them to see their need. And Lord, they'll be willing to call upon your name today and be saved. Bless us now, Lord, as we go into the preaching service. I pray, Lord, you'll bless our pastor as he stands to preach to us. Help us, Lord, to go in with a receptive heart today and be willing to hear and to take in the Word of God. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.